and welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Today is Friday, April 14th. It's almost the weekend, baby. We could feel it. Anyways, today, guys, I want to talk about the better flag theory. And this is kind of like a theme that we've been talking about for many, many months now. How basically Bitcoin is going to dramatically change the relationship between individuals and the state. And the reason I believe that is the case is because it gives the individual the ability to pick and choose how they consume information, what information they consume. Sorry, not Bitcoin, but the internet, better said, information technologies, right? The internet has given individuals the ability to pick and choose what information they choose to consume, and more importantly, what money they choose to use, right? That wasn't always the case, right? There was only a handful of media channels. There was only a handful of, you know, of journalistic institutions, right? Now we know that's they're definitely not credible whatsoever. Cough, New York Times. But more importantly, it's money as well, right? You know, they're going to try to, with the legal tender laws, and they're going to try to coerce people into using central bank digital currencies. But when it comes to either putting food on the table or listening to the guy in the suit on TV on as to why you should use state money, my money's on the, little bit of a pun there. My money's on the fact that people are going to follow their incentives, right? And nothing has stronger incentives than Bitcoin. Now, all that being said, what we're witnessing right now in the States is individual states taking different stances on Bitcoin, whether it is being friendly towards Bitcoin miners, being not friendly towards Bitcoin miners, being friendly towards the central bank digital currency push, being anti-central bank digital currency push. And what that's creating is it's creating competition between states. And now, as sovereign individuals, as people, you're going to choose to which state you want to go to. And this doesn't just apply to the United States, I might add. This applies to the whole world, right? Opti and I always kind of make the joke, you know, we're going to try to hold it down here in the U.S., but if all else fails, we're going to change the name. It's going to be called El Simple Bitcoin, and we're going to move to El Salvador, right? We're going to see the rise of that. We're going to see more people realizing the power that they have when they take Bitcoin into self-custody, when they choose to take a bit of personal responsibility and seek their own information rather than outsourcing that to a handful of these legacy media institutions that we covered this throughout this week, right? They don't exactly tell the truth 100% of the time. A lot of the time, they actually propagate narratives that have been given to them by governments, right? Isn't that the whole point of media? The whole point of media is to challenge the narrative of government. But it seems like there's been this weird merger. Well, that was the case until the rise of the internet. The rise of the internet completely changed that dynamic, right? Now, individuals could talk directly to each other instantaneously. No, you guys are listening to me. I don't even know who you are. You behind a lot of anonymous accounts. You guys are listening to me all over the world on Twitter Spaces, on YouTube. Shout out to our fans on Rumble. We've seen a bit of a pickup there as well, right? So it's changed the dynamic. It's disintermediated this. It's decentralized the whole information game, right? So it's just fascinating to watch all of this play out. But with all this chaos, remember that these tools, whether it's the internet, whether it's Bitcoin, they empower you completely. But only if you choose to use them. If you choose to live in the old world, right? Where you're trusting what these legacy institutions are saying. All right. You know, go for it, right? But me, I choose to do my own research. I choose to seek my own information. I choose to use the money that doesn't steal from me. So this game theory, better flag theory, sovereign individual thesis, from the 90s seems to be playing out in real time. And that's what we're going to dedicate today's episode on. The fight between the individual states. And when they fight, they take stances, the individual wins. You win. Because you are going to choose where you want to move to. Because that is a friendlier jurisdiction, less taxes, more business incentives. Look at the law that passed in El Salvador. 0% tax for any tech companies that are moving over there. And you're going to see this competition flock or pop up all throughout the world. We saw it in Hong Kong when the U.S., specifically the federal government, the Biden administration started being hostile. Operation Choke Point 2.0. We read you guys an article from Bloomberg, literally said, with the CCP's approval, Hong Kong wants to become, quote, a crypto-friendly city and attract business there. Dubai is the same thing, right? So we're going to see this. This is the rise. This is the transition into the information age. And I think that humanity has never seen this type of freedom ever. And it's really, really exciting times to live through. But there is definitely going to be a difficult transition in the process because a lot of people were living in the world of old, number one. And number two, these powerful nation states, this nation state model that really has been around since the Napoleonic era. It's been around for a very long time and it's very, very powerful. We did an episode yesterday from Nolan, from our friends over at Bitcoin Mag, and we were talking about the administrative state. You know, some people call it the deep state. And we were talking about that, right? Those forces benefit tremendously from being able to issue money for free that everyone else has to work for. And they will want to, and Lawrence Lepard said this, I'm going to use the word, they will want to maintain that privilege as much as humanly possible. And they will fight for it, right? But this is what it's about. We went through the separation of church and state, you know, as a human race. And now we are enduring the separation of money and state. Hopefully it's not as bloody as the last one. Anyways, before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host. How you doing, Opti?
Doing wonderful. I'm really enjoying these longer monologues in the beginning. It really does set the tone, Nico. But while you were talking, I was kind of reminded of this one quote, and I might butcher it, but it's the future is here. It's just not evenly distributed. And I think everyone out there that has the asymmetric knowledge that understands about what Bitcoin is and what it's allowed for your life, we really are living in the future. And I think moving forward, we are going to definitely see the divide of people living in the future on the Bitcoin standard and those still stuck in the fiat slavery system. And hey, I'm just glad to be on the front lines with you guys. So let's go. It's Friday, boys and girls.
It's Friday, boys and girls. But before we start the show, I want to bring up our special guest, Glenn. How you doing, buddy? How's everything? How's life treating you these days?
Life is treating me very, very well these days. Thank you, Nico. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing good, man. I love that response. It made me happy inside.
Well, it's thanks to Bitcoin, really, that life is so good, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah. What does NVK say? NVK says it best, right? Deterministic optimism. And I think that, you know, that summarizes it perfectly, what living under a Bitcoin standard is like. Anyways, everybody, let's jump into the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, guys, at the time of recording, no, I totally missed it. It's Friday. Guys, go to Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up. It's in less than 2 months. Holy crap. It has been a very long week. But I'm very excited for Bitcoin 2023. It's almost in, literally, it's basically in a month. You want to get your tickets quickly. The prices do go up. Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th, 2023. You don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration of the year. Let's go through some of the speaker lists. We have Michael Lewis, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Adam Back was just announced, Jack Mahler, Stacey Herbert, You have BTC Sessions. You have Greg Foss. You have CK. You have Dylan LeClaire. Nico and Opti are going to be there as well. If you're looking to get a job in the Bitcoin industry, literally, I highly recommend going to the biggest Bitcoin conference of the year, Bitcoin 2023. And we got your back. Promo code simply to get yourself a big discount. Now it's actually time for the numbers. The Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 30,215 sats per dollar, 3,309. Block height, 785,382. Opti, I think the block height keeps making all-time highs, bro. What's going on there?
It's almost like Bitcoin works.
I know, right? It's almost like Bitcoin works. Also, shout out to Chrissy Lagarde. She looks like she's in the States. I don't know. I saw Opti, you're going to DC, right?
Yeah, had a great Wednesday night.
All right, reachable Bitcoin node, 17,096 blocks to having 54,618 having estimate April 20th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,417. Capacity value, $163 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $584 billion with a B. Anyways, boys and girls, I want to talk about this. You know, let's talk about Pomp for a bit. First of all, not a fan of great content creator. You can't deny that he has not worked his butt off. However, I do disagree with a lot of his business decisions, specifically taking sponsorship money from, you know, shitcoin exchanges. No one's ever, Opti, could you play the soundboard, please?
Yeah, one second. I got you.
Rocket ship, get on board.
And he was referring to BlockFi when he said that. And that got a lot of people wrecked, right? So, you know, you can't say that, you know, Pomp hasn't made, you know, business decisions that haven't hurt people in the past. Personally, at Simply, we are very, very picky on who we decide to partner with. But anyways, other than the business decisions aside, we've been talking about breaking out of the Bitcoin echo chamber for a very long time now, right? One of the things that happens is, you know, we make Bitcoin content and we think it's dope and it's awesome and, you know, people are listening to it and whatever. But the normies, this is every no coiners, you talk to them about Bitcoin, they're like, Doge? Like, what are you talking about? What is Bitcoin, right? So it's important, right, in the separation of money and state, in this information warfare, in the race to avoid the war, like Corey Clipson calls it, that we break out of the Bitcoin echo chamber and we get the Bitcoin ethos into the popular mainstream consciousness, right? And these mainstream appearances are very, very important, and they do just that, right? So we have Natalie Burnell holding it down. She kills it every time she goes on mainstream media. We had Dylan LeClaire the other day, CNBC. You had Ron Paul mentioning the problems with the Fed. You had Max and Stacey on the Timcast IRL, basically orange-pilling Tim Pool. And of course, Tucker Carlson bringing on Michael Saylor, bringing Nayib Bukele. And I think he brought on Michael Saylor to not Tucker Carlson tonight, but Tucker Carlson today. And that's all part of the fight. Like, this is information warfare. This is all about spreading the orange pill, handing out those orange pills to as many people as possible, convincing them that it's not red versus blue, it's green versus orange, right? So that all that being said, I really thought it was really, really cool what Pomp said in this video. Let's play and then we'll talk about it.
Bitcoin specifically is a decentralized asset with a programmatic monetary policy. It is backed by the strongest computing network in the world. And if there is one thing in the world that I will bet my life on, it is the fact that Bitcoin's monetary policy will continue to execute exactly as designed. Whoa. No one in the legacy financial system can even tell me what the Federal Reserve's monetary policy is going to be a month or a couple of weeks from now. It's impossible to plan. The average American cannot plan their life. The average entrepreneur cannot plan their business because they don't know if the cost of capital is going to be 0% or 5%. They don't know if we're going to be in a quantitative tightening or quantitative easing. But Bitcoiners know the monetary policy till the day they die. It is written in code, audited by anyone in the world. And as long as that code continues to execute, that monetary policy will not change. And that is the beauty, is that you can trust an algorithm just as you do in the rest of your life. You trust Google to give you answers rather than ask your friend. You trust Spotify to give you music recommendations rather than ask a friend. You trust Google Maps to give you directions rather than ask a friend. And eventually, I think you're going to trust an algorithm with your monetary policy more than you're going to trust any other.
So, I mean, look, like, I trust me. Not a fan of the shitcoin advertising and whatever, but in that specific situation, Pomp Apps fucking slayed it. Like, the way that he said that was very, very impactful. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a Bitcoin podcast that he said this. He said this on Fox Business for the world to see, for the mainstream normies to see. And it's about getting the message out there, right? We know the Bitcoin monetary policy. It's set in stone. It's not going to change. We know it. Literally for the next 100, we'll most likely, you know, because humans are mortal, we'll all be dead by the time the last Bitcoin is actually mined, right? So we know that, and that creates stability, and that creates beautiful. MVK says it perfectly, and I'm sorry, MVK, if I keep repeating it. It creates deterministic optimism, because you know that your purchasing power is literally designed to increase in value basically forever. Michael Saylor said it best, right? It's going up forever, Laura. It's going up forever, right? So, but we have to get that message out there. We have to get that message out into the popular mainstream culture. And these mainstream media appearances do just that. You know, I've done a couple myself. They're literally, it's stepping into a whole new world, because you're speaking to people, you're speaking to individuals of no fault of their own that are just completely oblivious to this, right? And a lot of the economic hardships are caused by this broken money. A lot of the economic hardships are caused by the fact that money is stealing from everybody. Inflation is not necessary. That is a fucking lie. And we need to keep drilling that point home and wake people up. Don't get lost in the sauce with the right and left, you know, culture war, BS. Stay on message. It's Bitcoin versus Orange. Bitcoin is the great unifier, and I really do believe that if you fix the money, you fix the world. Opti?
Yeah, well, I think I'm doing what everyone's doing in the chat. Is this the part of the cycle where the shitcoiners go full Bitcoin only?
I think that's exactly what happened, to be honest.
You know, like, obviously,
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, as Bitcoin only content creators and as Bitcoiners that have been around for more than one cycle, you are seeing the cycle repeat again, not just by Pomp, but by others. They're orange washing themselves. But, you know, only time will tell to see if he has learned his lesson, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt, whatever. But like, without just doing ad hominem attacks, he's not wrong. Like, his message is great, and the Bitcoin signal cannot be stopped. At this point, the people over at Fox News should be completely orange-pilled, or maybe not just the broadcasters, but their audience. They've had a lot of great Bitcoin signal on their channel lately, on their platform. And I think it's just something that we talk about here all the time. The Bitcoin message, the Bitcoin signal is in the mainstream consciousness, and it's only a matter of time until it fully saturates the average person's brain out there and they get some just in case it catches on, because
it's going up forever, Laura.
So you better, hold on, you better, wait.
Rocket ship, get on board.
All right.
What's your take on this, Glenn?
Well, you can't really argue with anything he said there, can you? Say what you will about his shitcoining. He was right about Bitcoin there. I'm not sure what else you can add. You know the monetary policy till the day you die. What more do you want? What else is better?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so I want to ask you something, Glenn. So we kind of obviously were a little bit of in a bit too much. So to be frank, we're a bit American centric, obviously, you know, because we live here. How is the normie, the no coiner, where you're from? How are they awake? Are they even aware of what's going on with the money? Do you see people in legacy media, in, you know, where you live, talking about Bitcoin? Because in the States, at least, you know, we are starting to see some break through the Bitcoin echo chamber a bit more. So how is it where you live?
To be honest, I don't follow the legacy media where I live, so I don't know.
That's a phenomenal answer.
But as far as the normies go, they don't even, most of them don't even have Fox News here. So they're mainly clueless, but when you talk to them about the value of their money disappearing, they all pretty much understand and grasp very quickly, the idea that's a money that you can't do that with would be something.
Yeah.
What's that?
Anyways,
my audio.
Yeah,
there's like a buzzing.
Yeah, we're having
it fall off now. I don't know what's going on. There you go. I think you're good now.
Oh, good, my friend. All good.
Well,
we'll
talk about it in the culture. We'll talk
more about it in the culture. We got the show must go on. All right, everybody, let's get to news. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So today I want to talk about the better flag theory. And it's important. It's important. And the reason it's important is because you have to understand how powerful you are as an individual in today's day and age. But this only applies if you take Bitcoin into self-custody. Bitcoin gives you two powers when you take it into self-custody. It gives you the power to vote with your wallet, but most importantly, it gives you the power to vote with your feet. Think about it. If you live in a tyrannical country before Bitcoin, right? How did you flee with your wealth that you spent your entire life working, accumulating? How did you leave? I've heard horror stories of people trying to hide gold in their teeth, trying to, you know, put stuff on their body. There's only so much you could do that. Gold's extremely heavy. Diamonds, you know, hiding diamonds in their teeth. Now we live in a world where you can memorize 12 words and you could theoretically store millions, billions, if not trillions of dollars in your mind. Obviously, we don't recommend that, but if you're in a pickle, huh. And also, maybe you don't even memorize it. Maybe you put it in a tiny little, you know, tiny little microscopic print type of thing and you hide it somewhere on your person. There's many ways. But what I'm trying to say is that that completely changes the power dynamics of the situation, right? The only reason that FDR was able to get away with the 6102 order in the 1930s is because most people outsource the custody of their gold to banks, rightly so. Gold's extremely, like, especially if you hold large amounts, it's very heavy. It's hard to transport. But now that's completely changed. So now individuals are empowered. And because individuals are empowered, now they're going to pick and choose where they want to live based on how friendly that jurisdiction is to them. And we're going to see more and more of this. And by the way, the backlash from governments to try to stop this is going to increase as well. I really recommend reading the book, The Sovereign Individual. It literally lays it out. And it's playing out in real time. Anyway, so what is the flag theory? The better flag theory. Here is a article from Nomad Capitalist. It says, put simply, flag theory encourages the idea that you should go where you're treated best. The goal is to diversify your personal and financial affairs so that no one government has control over you or your money, right? And you're seeing this. Plan B, shout out Katie the Russian, right? And also we had Escape to El Salvador the other day, right? Talking about this, you as individuals, as Bitcoiners have to start thinking this way because you might live in a jurisdiction that might become very hostile towards this movement, right? Anyways, this is why you have to learn how to take self-custody. It is very, very important. Anyways, let's talk about the battle between the individual states and how they're approaching it differently. So we all know how New York State feels about Bitcoin mining in particular. They partially banned proof of work mining. And of course, in this article from Politico, it says now environmentalists want more, right? It goes on to say at first in the nation, partial ban on cryptocurrency mining in New York is sending ripple effects through the burgeoning industry and also emboldening environmentalists to push for similar efforts, several similar measures across the nation. right? And think about that. Think about how that worked with China. What happened with China? Did they kill Bitcoin when they banned Bitcoin mining within their borders? No. What happened to the hash rate? It decentralized across the world, made Bitcoin more decentralized, therefore stronger to attack, harder to attack. And not to mention the fact that all of that hash rate not only recovered, but it made all-time highs as well, right? So Opti said it best, and I never forget this, how Opti said this, right? You can't ban yourself from Bitcoin. You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So let's go to another front. So what's going on in Arizona? Arizona, something very similar. Arizona governor vetoes bill targeting taxes on blockchain node host. It goes on to say, Katie Hobbs, the governor of the American state of Arizona, has vetoed legislation that would have largely stopped local authorities from imposing taxes on individuals and businesses running blockchain nodes. An April 12th decision, Governor Hobbs issued a veto to Arizona Bill 1236, first introduced in January. The legislation aimed to revise sections of status pertaining to blockchain technology, largely reducing or eliminating regulation and taxation of node operators at the state level. I didn't even know you could tax a node operator. It's so crazy how, it's nuts. Anyways, goes on to say, quote, a city or town may not impose a tax or fee on any person or entity for running a node on blockchain technology in a residence, said the Senate version of the bill. Quote, the imposition of a tax or a fee on a person or entity running a node on blockchain technology in a residence is a statewide concern and not subject to further regulation by a city or town. It was a great day celebrating the first 100 days of my administration with folks from across Arizona. There's so much more to do, but I'm excited about the foundation we've laid and where we're going next. I mean, interesting, right? So that's Arizona's take. We went through New York. Now let's move on to what's going on in Texas. So in Texas, Senate Bill 751, that's the bill that, basically caused a lot of the commotion from Bitcoiners. Pierre Richard had a video that basically went viral. He was testifying. I think it was, basically in the Texas Senate or the Texas government building, basically advocating as to, why they shouldn't get rid of these tax incentives for Bitcoin miners and how it's providing a lot of job opportunity for, these small towns in Texas, right? So Texas took a more hostile front. But again, so, New York did its thing, Arizona did its thing. We know how the federal government feels about it. But, there's other states that are approaching this completely different, right? So Montana's right to mine Bitcoin bill ready to be signed into law. Goes on to say the bill, entitled An Act Generally Revising Cryptocurrency Laws, prohibits discriminatory digital asset mining utility rates, limits local governments' powers related to digital asset mining, as well as discriminatory taxation on the use of cryptocurrency as a payment method, and frames digital assets as personal property. Quote, whereas digital asset mining provides positive economic value for individuals and companies throughout the United States, and whereas the state of Montana wants to protect the rights of individuals and businesses to mine digital assets and create legal certainty for the digital asset mining industry. And whereas digital asset mining has the potential to stabilize the grid and provide revenue for infrastructure upgrades statewide, which is completely contradictory to what the narrative was being propagated by the New York Times. So I'm trying to give you guys a zoomed out view. Connect the dots because it's all happening in front of your eyes. So we covered New York, we covered Arizona, right? We covered Montana, we covered Texas, also in Arkansas. Arkansas Bitcoin mining bill headed to governor's desk. The bill states that, quote, a digital asset mining business may operate in the state if the digital asset mining business complies with state law concerning business guidelines and tax policies. Quote, a person that is engaged in home digital asset mining or that has a digital asset mining business shall not be considered a money transmitter under the Uniform Money Services Act. discrimination against digital asset mining businesses prohibited. The bill was already passed in the state Senate, is on the way to the governor's office for approval. Like, look at the stark contrast between Montana and Arkansas and compare that to what is happening in New York. And I think Arizona and Texas are somewhere in the middle. Right. But not only in the mining front is this battle happening. We also, and, you know, I put Governor Kristi Noem on today's thumbnail, but also on a central bank digital currency level as well. We have multiple states that have gone out against that movement, against that push by the Federal Reserve. We know, based on the Biden administration's economic report, based on a report that was written by the Treasury called The Future of Money and Payments, which was written due to Biden's executive order. And in that report, right, they never mentioned Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not the future of money of payments in the eyes of the federal government with the current administration. The future of money and payments in the eyes of the current administration are central bank digital currencies and payment platforms. And the reason for that is because I think they can control them. And I think, you know, they want to control stuff. I think that's just the harsh reality. But good news is Kristi Noem. She says, I vetoed HB 1193. This bill adopts a definition of money to specifically exclude crypto like Bitcoin, and it opens the door to the risk that the federal government could adopt a central bank digital currency. South Dakota will always stand for economic freedom. But it wasn't also South Dakota that did this as well. This was also happening in Florida. Here's a CoinDesk article for our audio listeners. It says, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposes law to ban central bank digital currencies. Goes on to say, quote, today's announcement will protect Florida consumers and businesses from the reckless adoption of a centralized digital dollar, which will stifle innovation and promote government-sanctioned surveillance, right? So you're seeing this war happening all around the United States. It's happening in real time. You're seeing it. Whether if you're not paying attention to it, it's happening regardless, right? But the good news here is that, and honestly, I'm a big fan of the American form of government. Because of this, the sovereignty of the individual states is playing a huge role here, right? So, you know, California, New York, you know, states could basically adopt anti-Bitcoin regulation, but that's just going to create opportunities for other states to be friendly towards Bitcoin. Therefore, the Bitcoiners and the future wealth, right? I truly believe in the next 10 years, Bitcoiners are going to be the wealthiest conglomerate of people on the face of the planet, are always going to go to where they're treated best. Therefore, right, the states that are hostile towards Bitcoin or Bitcoin mining, what do we always say? They're going to have fun staying poor. They're just going to push away that business. And I think that over time, over a long period of time, what that's going to do is it's going to force the hand of a lot of these governments, and it's going to make them change the relationship of how they see their citizens from this kind of like extortion type of thing that we live in now to a more customer slash business relationship that I think El Salvador is really proving that model. I really think that, you know, that type of friendly towards business, attracting Bitcoiners, that type of stuff, I think we're going to see that type of competition on a worldwide level. And I don't think it's going to be a politically viable stance to be anti-Bitcoin in the next 5-10 years. I think that basically the people on the ground, man, think about all the business that they're missing out on because of these stupid laws that they're passing. They're just going to force those people, you know, to leave. But anyways, if you want to take advantage of all this, right, if you want to take advantage of this newfound ability that you have as an individual to take your wealth wherever you want in the world, right? You got to take Bitcoin into self-custody. That's literally what you got to do. That's the number one thing. And then step two is obviously you got to run your own node, right? But when you take your Bitcoin into self-custody, you definitely don't want to do it on paper, because paper is, you know, paper sucks. You definitely want to take Bitcoin into self-custody and put your generational wealth, back it up on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the BitPlates Domino. BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and pad phrases made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. And good news, you can get 10% off bit plates using promo code SIMPLY. Don't store your generational wealth on paper, store it on steel. Bit plates, domino. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on all this, bro? Like, this makes me so freaking optimistic about the future. And now I know what Corey means about that bright orange future. Like, I see it, bro. Like, it's so empowering, you know, the fact that you're seeing these states basically compete. Like, they're competing. It's like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then when there's competition, right, the people that win, you know? So I love to see this, bro. This is great. Like, I love seeing this. And I can't believe, you know, this strikes me every freaking day. I can't believe how accurate that book was, The Sovereign Individual. Like, you're seeing the thesis play out in real time, bro. Like, it's absolutely bonkers to me.
Yeah, agreed. Love to see, well, at least seemingly see the political tide in our favor, or at least like we're seeing some headwinds, and we're seeing people realize that Bitcoin is freedom and Bitcoin will help humanity, and you know, fighting it, as I always say, is anti-human. But what do we always say on the show? The only votes that, well, I'll say this personally, the only votes that matter is with your money and your feet. So if we do see some states, you know, like New York, BitLicense, if they start making stupid moves, and entrepreneurs and citizens will leave that area. And what do we always say? They will have fun staying poor. Now, to Nika's joke that we always talk about, you know, I don't want to leave the States because as many problems that the U.S. has, I still look at our country as like the last Alamo, the last bastion of freedom. So if America drops, I don't think it would look good for the rest of the world. You know, we, besides exporting our inflation to the rest of the world, I think our second biggest exportation is our culture, and that freedom-minded culture, that freedom-minded perspective that we have, I think is something that the rest of the world wants as well. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but as a Bitcoiner, you know, if you're in a jurisdiction that doesn't treat you right, well, we have the option to move. And I think it's very important to realize, like, options are important. In the past, you didn't have a choice. It's like you're either stuck somewhere with all your assets, or, you know, like take a haircut and like get out of here. But now you just put all your wealth in your brain. Again, there's better ways to do this, but it is an option. And again, like, even to some of these laws, like, how are you going to prohibit people from running software and using electricity? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just nuts, man. Like, software speech, and that is protected by the Constitution. So politicians, administrative state, follow the Constitution and do your job, and stop trying to stampede on our liberties. Like, I just want to use a money that is not designed to steal from us. And we are obviously seeing from a top-down perspective that these people want to totally control you, your family, your life, everything about you. And it is a very real attack on the liberties of America, but further, of the whole world. They look at you guys as cattle, tax cattle. You know, they look at human lives as something that they own and that they can fleece. And this is why we Bitcoin. This is why we've opted out of the madness, because, I mean, again, I know that I'm starting to wake up to the idea that we do have to play the political game. Like, this is what Bitcoin's about, being apolitical, opting out of their madness, because they don't control us anymore via their money. So I love seeing states fight this out. I can't wait to see what the best jurisdictions are. I wonder if they're going to have some good views and, you know, some good foods and all this stuff. So the free market and entrepreneurs will solve these problems. And Bitcoin Capital and the Bitcoin entrepreneurs will just move where they're treated best. Like, this is the better flag theory playing out in real time. And we're just seeing this happen. So I think Nico is the first one to kind of bring it up to me that this will most likely go the way of legalizing marijuana in the States. And the states that embrace Bitcoin will prosper, and the ones that don't will just hurt their citizens, and will just, you know, have the game theory play out in real time. So this is what it means to be a Bitcoiner. It's something we have to definitely keep an eye on. But again, I would love to see favorable laws for all of us Bitcoiners, like drop capital gains tax on Bitcoin. Hey, it's just money. There's like, come on, catch up, people. We are living in the future. You need to catch up to what game is being played now.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to read a passage before I pass it on to Glenn. And again, guys, I can't recommend this book enough. And basically talking about the transition into the information age or the information society. And they go on to say, genius will be unleashed, freed from both the oppression of government and the drags of racial and ethnic prejudice. In the information society, no one who is truly able will be detained by the ill-formed opinions of others. It will not matter what most of the people on earth might think of your race, your looks, your age, or the way you wear your hair. In the cyber economy, they will never see you. The ugly, the fat, the old, the disabled will vie with the young and beautiful on equal terms in an utterly colorblind anonymity on the new frontiers of cyberspace. And think about Bitcoin Twitter. A lot of your friends on Bitcoin Twitter, you don't even know what they look like in person. I still call Opti, and I will forever call Opti by his handle. I don't like his real name. I do like his real name.
It's a good name, though.
I love his real name, but I like his handle. It's not even that I don't like his real name, dude. It's just, he's always Opti to me, right? And I think, you know, that passage really highlights the importance of that, right? Look, the fact that you can pay people for proof of work without having to know who they are or where they're from, and they're just like, look, if you do this work for me, they give you the work and you could pay them in Bitcoin or you could pay them straight. Doesn't matter. And think about how much economic opportunity that would bring the world. Anyways, but I think the passage that really applies to what we were talking about, or the theme of the news segment today, is this one. New technologies will allow the holders of wealth to bypass the national monopolies that have issued and regulated money in the modern period. Their importance for controlling the world's wealth will be transcended by mathematical algorithms that have no physical existence. In the new millennium, cyber money controlled by private markets will supersede fiat money issued by governments, right? And we are currently living through this transition. Anyways, Glenn, what are your thoughts on all this, brother?
Couldn't say it better.
I think it's amazing to watch play out. And those states that are kind of fighting against it, it feels like they're just shooting themselves in the foot. I don't know what they're thinking at all. But it's certainly fun to watch play out. I wish we had more options to kind of jump jurisdictions. For a lot of people here, that's impossible. I love my home. I don't want to leave my country, but I have started to think about contingencies, and El Salvador is looking appealing, and so are other Bitcoin-friendly jurisdictions. So, I mean, that is the sovereign individual playing out, whether I like it or not. So I got to plan accordingly.
Yeah, 100%. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, though, Glenn, right? Is what is it specifically that you feel is tying you down? Is it's your career? It's your family? Is it things that you feel like you can't make the move? Like, what are you talking about?
It's my home. I mean, this is where our family and our friends, it's our community, it's our life is here.
Yeah.
My animals are all here. My whole life, you know, it would be, it would be a huge, huge shift to have to, I'm almost 50 years old. What do I want to go and pack up my bags and move somewhere else? Yeah. I don't want to. But you know, it is starting to look like I might have to, whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
I hope not though. So
100%. I think throughout history, right, so many people have felt the way that you have felt, Glenn, right? Where this is my home, you know, I can't move. I feel that way, by the way, the same. Opti and I feel that way the same way, right? But also, you know, we're slaves to the news cycle, and we see the ominous clouds approaching slowly, and you see the system fighting back, and you know, you start to have the same doubts that you start to creep in the back of your mind, saying, look, like, I really don't want to, this is my home, but I might have to. But I think with Bitcoin, though, the beauty of it is that worst case scenario, if you are forced to do that thing that you really don't want to do, at least now you can take your work, your energy, your time that you've invested building your entire life up, and you could take that with you. right? And I think that throughout human history, that was never possible. And I think that that has also led to catastrophes because people just don't leave because they're like, how can I leave? I have everything here, right? But now that dynamic changes, right? And I really think it's going to make the world a better place for it. But I do agree with you, Glenn. Let's hold the line. Let's not let it get to that point.
We got to fight.
Yeah. And
that's what I was going to say, dude. Like, as much as we have this option, Nico, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, I think we need to kind of like stand our ground and be like, look, this is my home. Go fuck yourself. Like, I am a sovereign individual. I am not leaving, and you are not going to trample on my liberties.
You're not taking my stuff.
Yeah, you're not taking my stuff. Like, I agree with this. But hey, we do have the option. Options are good.
Yeah, we got to fight like hell. And again, like, this is not violent fighting. This is information warfare. Fight lies with truth. Fight their misrepresentations, their lies. Just spread the message. Remember, guys, don't get trapped. They use politics as a control mechanism. Do not fall for the bait. It is not left versus right. It is literally orange versus green. Don't fall for the BS, like, oh, you know, it's the left, it's the right, it's the red party, it's the blue party. You know, it's no.
Oops.
Bitcoin is the unifier. Bitcoin is the great unifier. It will literally unify people because there's a common denominator there. I've seen that. I have Bitcoiner friends that I have radically different. I have a radically different personal ideology for them. But you know what the common language is? We're both Bitcoiners. Therefore, we can get along just well. We don't have a problem. We don't have an issue, right? But I think right now, a lot of the political upheaval is coming from the fact that I think the money, the fact that money's broken, the fact that it's causing so much economic hardships, I feel like it's being used as like this like pressure release valve to like, you know, vent out people's frustrations. But I think their frustrations are not being vented or being used, better said. Their frustrations are not being used for something that's more productive, right? And point those frustrations, point that anger, that upset, the feeling that you've been stolen from, embrace that, internalize that, and use it to fight the good fight that we're fighting right now. Push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, fix the money, fix the world. That's how we win. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Swan Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. If you have an IRA, consider it putting into the Swan IRA. Get yourself some Bitcoin. Anyways, everybody, if you have any questions about this, please send me a Twitter DM and I'll be happy to answer them. Opti, what are we talking about today? I don't even know, bro.
Well, we got Glenn at Bitcoin Ubuntu on Twitter. And we have his website over here, bitcoinubuntu.org. And I want to ask him about what's going on adoption-wise in his home country, what he's working on, and what he's seen happen in real time. So as you can see, he is from South Africa, and he's working on a meetup. He says it's kind of new, but hey, Glenn, why don't you talk about it? I'm just reading the website, bro.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the opportunity to share what we're doing with you guys. We've had people asking, so it's good to have a platform. That's a very old website. I don't know if that is the one that's still up now.
Yeah, this is the one off. off your, yeah, off your Twitter.
Our Twitter is really the place where we post stuff. We'll get around to the website eventually. as you say, it's pretty early days, but there's a lot of exciting stuff happening on the ground. I've been following Bitcoin Ekasi for a long time. I actually just came back from there today. I went to visit Herman there. They've been really supportive of what we're doing, which, like you saw from the website there, we've taken inspiration from them, really. I spent a long time trying to find something to do in the Bitcoin space, and then Herman kind of set the example. So I went to say hello to them and to thank them for the donation. They were our first donor on behalf of Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador. So we now have a small bit of seed capital to really help the project that we've teamed up with here, in much the way that they did with the Surfer Kids. We've teamed up with the NPO here that really needs some extra love and attention.
Love it. So what's the response that you've gotten? Like, I have a friend, he's in Argentina right now, and he was telling me that the people need Bitcoin more than ever, but it's still an education issue. Is this what you're experiencing back home as well?
Yeah. It's crazy how uninformed people here are. So they either get the American version, mainstream version of Bitcoin, or they, when we moved to Swellendam 2 years ago and we started putting out feeders for other Bitcoiners, we just found people that had been scammed out of their Bitcoin or that were in the process of being scammed out of their Bitcoin. It's not great, the adoption here, which is why I think what Herman is doing is so important. We really need education here. The scammers target, people whose first language isn't English, so they're more easily kind of, or they don't have like a solid education. These people are targeted. So that's what we're aiming to do, is just to bring better education surrounding Bitcoin. We think it's becoming urgent, in the face of encroaching CBDCs and surveillance states. We need to get as many people holding some Bitcoin as possible, so that when push comes to shove, we can stand up together and say, no, this is mine, and you're not having it.
I love it. Yeah, we talk about that all the time here. We reference Corey's article, The Race to Avoid the War, probably every single day. And I think this is the most important thing right now, is not only education, but just getting Bitcoin in people's hands. And I have this tweet here. I pulled it up earlier, but I really love, you quote tweeted the Bitcoin Ekasi account and you go, "We don't use crypto in Africa. We specifically avoid it, but we do use Bitcoin here." And I think this is the message, and this is something that we try to show up every single day and separate Bitcoin from crypto. It's an uphill battle, because I think everyone has their mind made up in regards to what Bitcoin is, what crypto is. And it really does feel like it's just a constant pushing of a boulder up the hill to educate people, especially people that are not technically savvy and or don't have a good financial literacy. So how big is the meetup? Like, is it just a few friends, or like what's going on over there?
Yeah, more or less. We haven't started formal meetups. We're going to do that now. We do have people asking. Up until now, it's just been onboarding and educational meetups with the board of the soccer project that we've teamed up with, the NPO. I don't know if you've had, have you guys had Herman on before? But,
I don't think so.
Anyway, he's got a guy from the informal settlement that works very closely with him, Litando. He's actually the guy that's onboarded the, 11 of the 12 shops, or something like that. So we're basically in the process of building our relationships with our Litandos, with our ambassadors for the Railton community, which is the impoverished part of Swellendam. It's where the crime and the poverty is really at its worst, and where we as Bitcoiners feel Bitcoin can have the most dramatic impact. So we're taking Bitcoin to where it's needed most and can make the biggest difference. And so these meetups have been about educating the team of volunteers that's going to work with us to start the meetups on that side of the road, so that they can educate in their own language and learn from the people they trust in the community, rather than some stranger that moved here 2 years ago. So that's been a process. Finding those partners took a while. They weren't the first project we approached, but we couldn't be happier to have found them. I kind of lost my train of thoughts again there.
No worries. All right. Last question. What is your basic orange pill conversation? Like, how have you found to be the best way to incept
everybody,
the idea of Bitcoin?
Everybody can see the value of their money disappearing now. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. If you buy groceries, you can see your money losing value. And everybody understands that. It doesn't matter how much schooling you've had. You can see that. So it doesn't take long to have that conversation and for the light bulb to go on in people's head when you talk about inflation. And that's just becoming clearer and clearer to people as the money printing gets out of control, more out of control.
Yeah, we say it all the time. And I think Nico's the first one to say it to me. Like, you can't hide the sticker shock. And I think people globally are waking up to the fact that, wait, what's the sailor quote? Like, your fiat money is melting ice cubes in your hand. And you might want to get some Bitcoin just in case it catches on, even if it's just a little bit. A little bit is better than none, guys. But hey, kudos to you, Glenn. Definitely come back soon. And give us some updates. Give us some updates on what you've been working on, and let us know how the adoption starts to grow in South Africa, because we try to definitely keep our ear to the ground and see how Bitcoin is taking over the world, because it is taking over the world slowly but surely, whether it's on the state level, whether it's on the continent level, nation state level. People are waking up to what Bitcoin offers them, and it's just beautiful to be a part of it. It happens a little slower than we'd like it to, but it's still happening at an incredibly quick pace, in my opinion. So, man, kudos to you, and can't wait to see how your project grows, brother.
Thank you very much, Opti.
Appreciate it. All right,
Nico. Keep an eye on the Twitter. That's where I will be posting all of our updates, and things will momentum now. It took us a little while to find our partners. Now we got them. The meetups are coming. We're going to pick up steam now. So
hell yeah. All right, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. All right, guys, we went a little long yesterday and there was no meme review and everyone was giving me shit. So I added some extra memes in here for you guys. So, you know, hey, sometimes the signal goes on the show and we gotta continue the signal. But you guys already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. As we are constantly covering on this show,
there is an information war against us. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a huge PSYOP campaign against Bitcoiners and against Bitcoin miners. And it's almost like, what do you call it, Nico? The administrative state is gaslighting the average person out there. And this is the importance of the memes. Not only is it comedic relief on this show, not only does it keep your guys' head in the game, keep the humor going, but you put calls of action into the memes. You put truth in art. And this is how we spread the message, boys and girls, mainly boys, but some girls. Shouts out to the girls of Bitcoin as well. Anyways, here we go. First meme is by the Bitcoin Standard, aka at BitBull777 on Twitter. And actually, he posted a BTC therapist meme. So shouts out to BTC therapist. He's killing it. Go follow him. He's dropping hot memes. Anyways, it's a very simple visual of Bitcoin versus gold versus fiat. And we got Bitcoin and the Bitcoin logo, and its number goes up gradually, then suddenly. Bitcoin, wait, hold on. One second. Wait, it's going up forever, Laura. Where'd it go? Whatever. Anyways, Bitcoin number goes up, and then we got gold. It's stable. Gold's been around. Yeah, it's somewhere. You know what? It's somewhere. Oh,
it's going up forever.
Bitcoin is going up forever. Okay, and gold is going sideways. It's retaining its value, but Bitcoin is better. And then fiat is.
Don't do that feeling.
And the dollar is designed to lose value. Why are we being forced to use a money that steals from us? Answer this basic question. Why can I not use a money or something that holds its value, and not only holds its value, but goes up in value? Why is this the status quo? Anyways, this next one is by Selly, or at Don T Cell on Twitter. And it's really, it's very fitting considering what Nico did on the news segment. And it's got the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world. And it goes, I don't always vote, but when I do, it's with my money. Let's go. Okay. This next one is by my ginger friend Rope, aka at Ropium on Twitter. And he just got a quote here, Bitcoin bad, Fedcoin good. And go follow him on Twitter because he did a whole video of this. But we got a screenshot of Elizabeth Warren here with the Wojak meme. Forgive my roommate's dog freaking out about the ducks. So you're hearing him in the background. But we got Elizabeth Warren with the Wojak meme on her head, and she's stunned, and she's sponsored by MSNBC, the Federal Reserve, CNN, Vanguard, and BlackRock. If you know, you know. How did Elizabeth Warren get so rich? That's a whole nother conversation. Anyways, this next meme is by at level 39. He has thoroughly debunked the New York Times FUD article against Pierre Rochard's troll. And they showed all the receipts. They showed that they whitewashed the picture to make it look more smoggy. They broke down the statistics and the lies of the article. But hey, it's almost like New York Times is a paid propaganda machine. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a YouTuber. Anyways, the meme is the classic superhero red button meme. And on the one hand, we got the button that says, on the left side, electric vehicle is good and it's got zero emissions. And then on the right side, electric miner's bad and it's got zero emissions and he's sweating. Wait, which one is it? Just be consistent in your message. If electric vehicles have zero emissions, then Bitcoin ASICs are also zero emissions. And we're not talking about energy consumption, boys and girls. Just understand the message. This one, I'm not going to play the video, but it is very fitting. And Nico, I can move on. But this is a tweet by Marty Benton. He goes, this is how the dollar's proof of stake system is ultimately secured. And you guys are not going to hear it, but it is bombs dropping. Go to our YouTube, look at the pinned comment of our YouTube, and you can see the difference between what supports the Bitcoin network and what backs the fiat system. One is peaceful and the other is literally bombs. If you know, you know. Anyways, this next meme is by Alan B. Watt. He goes, well, we're winning, hashtag Bitcoin. And this is Pirate of the Caribbean. And we got, you know, the red coats over here. And it's got New York Times, the Fed, the ECB goes, you are without a doubt the worst form of money I've heard of. And we got Jack Sparrow as Bitcoin with the laser eyes. But you have heard of me. Yes, they are absolutely terrified of Bitcoin and what Bitcoin offers. And this next meme is by T Philosopher 47 on Twitter. I added this one because I said this yesterday, and I really do believe it, and I'm glad that someone put it in meme form. He goes, passing the baton in a race from gold to Bitcoin, hashtag hard money, hashtag DCA, hashtag 21 million, hashtag hard cap, hashtag El Salvador, hashtag freedom, and it's just a picture of a baton race. Thank you, gold bugs. Thank you, hard money advocates, for holding it down for so long. But the Bitcoiners will take it from here, and we will cross the finish line. And this next one, shouts out to my boy Copernicus' son, Six. He's constantly trolling me. Shouts out to you, bro. Love you. Really love the trolls. It makes my day when I get trolled by you. Anyways, he goes, running Bitcoin, get transaction out set info. And he's got over here, he goes, I'm over here in my Bitcoin full node right now. I got get transaction out set info in my command line interface right now, commanding my shit. I'm shadowy as fuck, man. I'm a super coder, man. And it's a cat on a computer with a wizard hat. This is how all of us Bitcoiners feel. Okay. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. I really don't know what my score is going to be. I have two, but I don't know which one's better. I'm going to go with this one. All right, look, I added this rubber band on my wrist so I can Pavlovian dog myself over my bad behaviors. Anytime I think of doing what I don't want to do, you give yourself a nice little slap. So I trigger the Pavlovian responses. I'm programming myself in real time, Nico.
All right. Well,
I can get my other one.
As sophisticated.
It just matches. That one was better.
Matches and Pavlovian. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I'm going to give it a Topo Chico.
Ooh.
And a little tiny Coca-Cola bottle.
Is it liquid? It's actually got liquids in there. Oh, wait. Glenn's still here. Glenn, pull up your score. Pull up your score. Wow, he's got. How is yellow everywhere? How is yellow everywhere?
Dude, I feel everywhere. I feel so rude, bro. I thought at the end of the last segment you were saying bye to Glenn.
all right, guys. Okay, drop your meme review score in the chat, and we'll cover it live. Well, actually, Nico, we're gonna have to make sure to go just a little tad longer so that. Their scores get in because they missed it yesterday and they were making fun of me and talking shit and saying, I need the meme review. I need my scores. Don't rug pull my meme review scores off the.
Okay, but before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day, and they're coming out with Simply Bitcoin merch soon. You can use the promo code Simply-Bitcoin. And also, ladies, Simply Bitcoin merch is coming as well, only in RepresentLTD.com. Check out their other merch. It's stylish. It's comfortable. Check it out. Promo code Simply-Bitcoin. Anyways, let's get to
scores. Actually, Nico, you got to pull them up. For some reason, Restream updated on me, and I can't pull up scores. Do ropes first.
All right, right. Rating those memes.
The one under it.
Rating those memes, Opti's new side chick, Liz Warren.
Trolling Opti's a feature, not a bug.
Elaine, Bitcoin for the most oppressed people worldwide. Beautiful, beautiful. McLovin, I give the memes the first class airline ticket for Opti so he can go see Chrissy and Orange Pill her.
God.
All right, next one we got Ticelli. I give a siesta after a good sheet. And we got Randmore. I give the memes big brain Bitcoiners. Max Trotter, I give the memes a bri meal. Ask Glenn how to pronounce it.
Right.
How do you pronounce it?
That was perfect.
Bri. Oh, okay. Ticelli, I give the memes.
You said that one.
Okay.
You didn't say it right, but.
Okay. Hey. All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on. Wait, CW. I give the memes a Bitcoin 30K support bounce. Okay.
Wait. Dude, this last one. You got to do this one last one. Hold on. Bitcoin's chief carbon officer. You got to do that one.
All right. Score. Opti's nickname for Chrissy, Pavlov.
Malaka. No.
way too much fun. Anyways, oh man, what a week, guys. Make sure to check out the audio version, audio only version of
Nico, I do have
we're gonna do that Monday. The show's at 109 right now.
Okay, it was not my fault. It's somehow, someway, this is Nico's fault.
Way too long, guys. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, Fountain. Check out the written version of this show, simplybitcoin.news. And I also want to thank our very special guest, Glenn. Thank you so much for joining us today. I was incredibly rude because I thought for some reason Opti said bye, Glenn, in the last segment. I thought you had to leave. So I'm really glad that you stuck around for the meme review and got to pull out the yellow. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs?
Thanks very much for having me. I also thought I was going. That's why I shoulder Twitter. So that's where you can find me. That's where I post everything. Don't bother with Facebook. I will update the website soon. But we're going to post everything we're doing like we have been to the Twitter. And then we'll come and catch up with you again when there's a bit more going on.
Well,
I was hoping to invite
Go ahead.
I was hoping to announce the first public meetup on air now, but we haven't quite nailed the date down. So I'll announce that very soon on Twitter time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Glenn. Guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of another week of Simply Bitcoin Live. We love you all. Have an incredible weekend. We will see you on Monday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want the party to continue, we are co-hosting a Spaces with the best place to stack sats, swan.com/simply. You gotta check it out. Best place to build your Bitcoin stack. Shout out the best producer in the game, producer Jacob. And we're holding it down for another half hour till 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Love you guys all. Enjoy your weekend. Peace out, everybody.